Welcome back to the Remarkably Me podcast. I'm your host, Anika Apple. I'm excited for today's episode because I have the opportunity to talk to you about the Healing Crusade. So you might think to yourself, okay, I've heard a little bit about the Healing Crusade, or perhaps you haven't heard about it at all. The Healing Crusade is a part of a community that I've created called the Remarkable Community. And in the Healing Crusade, there is a focus on us healing individually and collectively. Back in September, we launched the Healing Crusade as a three-year journey to help all of us, everyone who decides to participate, along in their healing. And it came from the recognition and understanding that healing is required for us in order to be our best selves, in order to do the work that we were purposed to do here in the world, and in recognition of the fact that we need some ways to begin to see ourselves so that we can identify what other resources we might need to tap into so that we can do our healing work. So you might wonder, like, why me, right? And what I can tell you is I'm anointed for this work. Like, this is a part of my big work, is to help people heal. And one of the ways in which I do that is to help people see themselves. And in essence, be able to see each other better. Because once our lens is clearer about who we are and what we're experiencing, we can then see others and really understand what they're going through. Our perspective grows through our own experiences. And then we can grow even further through understanding and empathy and connection with other people. God gave this as a divine idea to establish this community. And as a part of the establishing of this, as God began to give me clarity in what was intended here, God has laid out all of the ways in which we bring it to life. And there is something really salient that I understand from my experience of my own healing. The other beautiful part is that there are people in the community who are already on their healing journey, who have been doing many things and to help others and themselves heal. There's a commitment to support one another, and God is divinely leading it. The Healing Crusade is actually created as a place for everyone. Anyone can come to join the Healing Crusade at any level, any part of the journey, etc. Because healing is an ongoing thing for us. What I recognize is that part of what stands in the way of our healing, and that really is the purpose of today's episode, is our discomfort with saying yes to ourselves. Now, perhaps you might think to yourself, like, I don't have a problem saying yes to me. But I think it depends on what it is that you're talking about. In some cases, it's easy for us to say yes when perhaps it's indulging in something that we really enjoy doing, like somebody who loves to shop. Maybe it's easy to say yes because you've learned that you can't operate without a good level of rest. So maybe you say yes when it's time to take a break or refuel yourself, going to the beach or whatever it may be. But a lot of times we have patterns that come up in our lives and we are just simply not sure what to do with them. And so if you're anything like me, you might have experience kind of like just pushing that thing to the side, like just tampering it down, kind of, you know, pushing it off, not really allowing it to be present. And the fact that it's present being a reminder for you that there's some work that needs to be done in order to heal it. Or perhaps you may know really clearly that you struggled with traumas, or perhaps lived through and survived abuse, or maybe there are just stories that you have been telling yourself throughout your journey, or that others have been speaking to you that have impacted you so incredibly deeply. I think it's interesting that a lot of times people put a lot of credit towards the big events that people have lived through. And intentionally or not, sometimes it minimizes the things that we go through repeatedly, day in and day out, that have just as devastating effects. And when I say devastating, it certainly is relative, but understand that you cannot see any of these things because they happen on the inside of us. So where we hold stress and tension, where we hold remorse, the seat of our fear, our anxiety, our sadness, our depression, all of that stuff is on the inside. As a matter of fact, on next week's episode, you will hear my friend Zach talk about this example of what it's like when someone comes in with a very obvious injury and they go into the emergency room and people are like, not only do I see what's happening, but I know how to solve it. But when you're dealing with things that are impacting you emotionally or psychologically, it takes work to figure out what is the impetus, what are the roots, what are the different ways in which you can, you know, which you can attack it. How do you help someone work through those things? And I would submit to you that in addition to the dynamic of it being identified by people outside of yourself, knowing what's going on and then how to help you on a path to find and accept the solutions. But you also have to do it yourself. You have to identify it. You have to be in a place where you are able to say, gosh, this thing is really bothering me and I'm just not okay. And again, I'll say, if you're anything like me, being okay is the thing. It's like, it's the deal. You know, for so much of my life, I expected myself to be okay. And what I learned is that if I look back across my family, there was very much this persona of like, it needs to be okay. Like the appearance of things being solid, the appearance of things was such a big thing rooted in our families. And I'm not surprised when I think about, you know, many of the different dynamics of my family's makeup, and I'm talking outside of my immediate family. When I think about that, I think about who, you know, grandparents, maternal and paternal were in their communities. And what the families were looked upon as, and there was kind of an expectation that they would have it all together. And so people learned really early on to put on facades, which means that a lot of what they were experiencing, they didn't talk about outside of the home. And maybe some things they never even talked about inside the home. And so this thing of putting on facades and saying you're okay when you're really not, is kind of somewhat natural. And I just learned that within the past few years. Like was able to see it and identify it for myself. And that brings me back to why me, because what I am called to do is to help people see themselves and each other. God has given me an anointing to do that. But I also have experienced so many things. And quite frankly, unless you've been close to my story, or perhaps you've heard me minister on these things, or maybe you've listened to season one of this podcast, you wouldn't quite know it. Many of the people I worked side by side with and went to school with didn't know. The last few years have given me ample opportunity to heal and to do it publicly. And I'm grateful because in the time that I have been exploring what healing looks like for me, I've had an outpouring of people who have identified pieces of my story that connect to theirs or parts of their healing journey. And so as the healing crusade has evolved, I find that I am often sharing my stories and stories of others that they, of course, give me the opportunity to share because of the benefits that we have when we connect with one another through shared experiences. When I started the Remarkably Me podcast, which is all about healing through the power of storytelling, it really was geared for that exact thing. What I understood really clearly is that what we go through is not simply for us, but it really is around a collective experience. And so the more that we share our experiences, the more opportunity we have to be seen and know that we are not alone. And that's one of the foundational needs that we have as humans. The challenge becomes that so much of our experience, so much suffering is done in silence. And what's interesting is while we have one of the greatest tools to connect that has ever existed, when you think about the benefit of social media and the way it can bring people in seconds connected to one another who might live in opposite ends of the earth, it's a powerful tool, yet the way that we use it so often is around spin and not truth. And when I say spin, I mean creating these facades and personas and all of this stuff that exists around the perfection of life. It's like, oh, look at me when I get up in the morning, I look like this, and you know, nothing ever goes wrong, and my house is always 100% clean, and there's never anything out of place. And we portray what we want people to see about our lives instead of living it. So we take a tool that could be so good for connecting, and we put a version of ourselves out there instead. A really good friend, Coach D. Latrice, who says all of the time, my representative, she talks about her representative or someone's representative as the person who shows up instead of the true person. And it just resonates with me. And so I bring it into conversation quite a bit because her brilliance is helping disarm people so that they can be their true selves. And a lot of that I have experienced with her personally as she has shared her truth, the genuineness of who she is. And so even in that example for me, getting to know her and hear her experience, I identified with so many pieces that she shared, and it created a sense of connection, a sense of I'm not alone. And so there's so much more of that we can experience that will then help us to break out of these shells, out of these places, the cocoons that we've built for ourselves, making ourselves feel like we must be the only one in the world going through XYZ. Logically, we know that that's not true, but emotionally, it's really difficult for us to not feel that way when we don't see ourselves reflected in a way that really honors who we are in our journey, when we don't hear about it, and when even in our own families and close-knit circles, people maybe unseemingly oversimplify what it is that we're going through. I think what I want people to know about the Healing Crusade is that we've created and crafted it to have some fun energy, right? We use gamification by doing challenges each week that get you to go high and wide, and then we come back deeper to work against like what's at the core of the issue. So for example, we kicked off the beginning of January with this challenge called It's All About the Words. And what we're doing in the crusade is in the first couple of weeks, we're identifying, we're paying attention to the words we say about ourselves and then the words that other people are saying about us. And what are we taking in and what emotion comes up from that? And then from that, over the next couple of weeks, I will be taking them through how to now go deeper and understand what places those words hit, what stories they're continuing to perpetuate, and what they can do to begin the healing process. The beauty of the way we do things in the crusade is that there's an opportunity for you to choose whether or not you want to do that work. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, Anika, why would you do all of that and then someone choose not to do it? But here's the reality of it. You have to be ready to heal. And the problem is, because people aren't really talking about it in the way that we could be, you don't even have the catalyst in your life that says, hey, that pattern keeps coming up over and over again. Are you ready to do something about it? Even with what we experienced through 2020, people still are terrified of going to therapy. And we've not yet cracked the nut on how to establish teams of people to support us as we go through transformation. I'm just going to say this to you. If you think about it for a moment, and for those of you who work in a traditional corporate environment and have gone through any massive organizational change, you know that what happens is there's an idea, and then there is a strategy, and then there's a team that comes together to work on it. Sometimes they're a team of people who work in the organization. Sometimes there are outside consultants. A lot of times it's a combination of the two. And sometimes people who work in the company will move away from their regular assignment to be solely on the project. And so before you know it, you have a team of maybe 30 people who are working on this big project together, some full-time, some external, some part-time, but everybody who knows this project is so critical, this transformation has to go right because there's so many things riding on it. You see, organizations know we've got to put the right amount of resources to this thing if we want to transform it, because there's already a system and a process and practice that is in place in the company. And so if we don't look at all of the ways in which the change we want to make is going to impact those things, something is going to fail, something's going to fall apart, something is not going to work right, and then the change that we have designated is critical for the company to make is not going to work. Yet when we go to do that same kind of work on the inside of us, it's like, well, I'm just gonna figure it out myself. And what I would submit to you is that your change, your transformation is likely more complex and difficult than what happens in the corporate environment, because you are just you. So you don't have 700, 5,000 people who can watch different parts of the process and say, oh my gosh, something happened, let's fix that over here, let's do that over there. You don't have the benefit of that, it's just you. And if you've ever been in a place where you feel like there's so much on your shoulders, and don't be sad or depressed or experiencing anxiety, because then it's like there's just more on top of what you were already feeling. You dig yourself in a hole and it's like, man, I just need to come up for air. I just need a moment to catch my breath. I just need a moment. I wish someone would see me in this hole and throw me a lifeline. That's why we have the Healing Crusade. But the truth is, because we don't know to assemble teams, how to bring people together on the healing journey to support us, we often feel alone. And I don't know about you, but alone often results in this feeling of shame, because I should know better. I'm X amount of years old. I've already withstood these things. I should be feeling better about it. At mid-2021, post divorce, two job changes the year before, clearly in the midst of the pandemic, clearly in the midst of all the societal unrest, moving my children, them starting a new school, new job, just a ton of things changing personally and professionally for me. And I remember having this conversation with my mom where I said to her, I don't know what's going on with me. I've always been the person who, when the wall is there, I can scale it. When there's a big mountain, something that needs to be overcome, I can gather my wits about me and go. I know how to get it done. I know how to make things happen. I know how to overcome, because that's who I am. But I keep hitting this wall and I don't know why. I'm confident that if I knew why, I could figure out how to scale it, but I just can't figure out why I can't get over it. Why I can't seem to find enough in my reserves to be able to navigate this thing. And my mom, thank God, who is present for all of the things that were going on and happens to be a therapist and happens to be very closely connected with her God-given purpose and a true understanding of who she is, says to me, are you kidding me right now? And she begins to list off all of the things that were the reasons for how I was feeling the overwhelm and why I potentially didn't have any reserves left because I had used them and was running on fumes for a lot longer than I could realize. And as she started to list the things, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, don't say anything else. Like, if there's anything else I've been dealing with, don't tell me, because it was just so much. And that's what happens to us. We're like, how did I get in this place? And after having helped everybody else through and hold people up, going through the societal unrest and being a voice for people to understand what was happening and why were people suffering, and helping to bring organizations back together to speak to each other and to tell the truth about how they were feeling and what they had been withstanding. There was so much heaviness. And one of the things that I learned in 2020, post George Floyd's murder, I had such a strong revelation about what's happened when we stop telling stories, when we stop sharing our truth because we felt like no one cared, because there was so much inaction. When voices were elevated about things that were happening in communities of color, that and all and so many of the other things that I hold so near and dear to me that are part of purpose work for me were on display. And so the heaviness of all of that was present. And I had a recognition of how limited we were in telling our truths. I saw moments where there were people in my life who were like, I didn't know you went through that. And I had to ask myself, why had I stopped sharing? And I know why. It goes back to where we've started this podcast. Because we want to be okay. Because we want people to care when we do share, something to change. And all of that said, carrying the weight of all of those things and the pandemic, it was so heavy. And I was overwhelmed. And quite frankly, I could not have made it through without the community that God surrounded me with. My relationship and intimacy with God grew so much. And the people that God brought into my life were there to help me. But I had to let them in. I had to let them in to help me. And what I recognized is that in sharing my story, it enabled people to see themselves, and they saw me. And they stood a much better chance of being able to be in support of me by understanding what I was going through. And then I began to put a team around me and get the right resources. And all of those things are a part of the journey, my healing journey, that I now get to teach others how to do in the healing crusade. So you have the experience of going through your own personal healing. You heal with a community where you can share stories in real time, because what the things that we're working through, we might have different roots on the inside of us of where the thing comes from, but we have similarities because we're working through the same healing challenge together. The challenge is revealing things about us. We get to share those things. It creates an understanding and creates community. It is a place for us that is made of safety to explore what's going on the inside so that we can do the healing work. That's what the crusade is. It's powerful. And I don't have enough time in the podcast today to talk about miracles. So at some point in the future, I'll come back and talk about the miracles that we experienced and what is to come, because you can't have that many people believing in healing in a place truly desperate for that, because they know they deserve it, and not think miracles are going to happen, because they are. But in addition to the healing crusade and the work that we get to do there individually and collectively, we are catalysts for a change in the world. Because you may not have ever thought about it this way, but every time I heal, when I do the work to go deeper, when I confront what people refer to as shadows or those old stories, when I work through trauma, when I heal things that are in a part of the generational patterns that existed in my family, when I do that work, I show up differently. Somehow, because everything is energy, it impacts the other people. It impacts my family, it impacts my children. And when I show up in the world as a better version of me, you get the best of that. You get to experience it. Because the clarity with which that I share with you my story, the journey, and whatever messages I have to deliver to you divinely and to inspire and encourage and to help you on your path, what I do as a coach, what I do as an advisor for my clients, it's all at the next level. And the more healing I do, the more impact you receive, the more our engagements are genuine, the more I can show up with true empathy. I'm better because I've done my healing work, and your experience of me is better. And then you have the opportunity to be better. Because even if you are not doing the healing work at the same way, your experience of me helps you see something in yourself. And that change is palpable. Just like anything else, you still get to decide how deep you're going to allow that impact to go. But you can't not feel the difference between the unhealed version of me and the version of me that is where I am in this healing journey today. We are catalysts for change when we are on our healing journey. Everything around us gets better when we heal. Everything. And quiet as it's kept, I've been working on a book, and it talks about the concept in a way that I've never seen it described before, because it came straight from the source. There's just so much that we can learn and explore about healing and the impact that it will have on the world and that it's already having on families and individuals. So I hope that this episode gave you some insight into what the Healing Crusade is. Look, at the end of the day, we heal through the power of storytelling. And I've created a place for you to come and share your story, and for you to receive the divine wisdom that I have about how to heal, and for you to gain community and connection with others who have experiences that you can connect with, and a place where we share resources and lots of other really great things. But at the end of the day, it's about helping you prepare for your remarkable life, helping you create the kind of life that you are so grateful and excited about living. And if you'd like to learn more, of course, there is a link here in the show notes. And we'd love to have you as a part of the community. And before I go, I'd love to invite you all to try out the Healing Crusade for a couple of weeks. We have a 2-week free trial going on through the end of the month, which gives you access to join at the prestige level. So you would have the opportunity to experience the full breadth of what we have going on for the healing challenges. Right now, we are right in the midst of a 28-day challenge called It's All About the Words, and it is a really awesome exploration around the words that we use, the narratives that they create, and whether or not that's truly in alignment with who we are and who we are continuing to become. So I'd love to invite you to come test this out for a couple weeks and see what you think. We'd be glad to have you at the Healing Crusade. And as always, thanks for listening, and peace and blessings.